Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
We're going to go ahead and dive in on part two of Hearing God's Voice. If you weren't with us last week or shared part one, do encourage you to go back and watch that. There are several different ways to do that, whether it's a podcast or you can go to our Facebook page or our YouTube page, and that video is there, including the worship. I sometimes just go back and listen to the worship and not the message, and hear this worship that we just heard. Man, you get to hear it over and over and over, played in your home. It's a great thing to do, so encourage you to do that. But we are going to dive into part two here. The first week, last week, we talked about that it is God's heart to speak to us, to communicate with us. And I want to shift a little bit more toward some of the ways that he communicates to us. And he's already talking to you probably right now. And sometimes we're unaware of those things. And so it's not necessarily teaching you how to hear, it's simply making you aware of different ways that God is already speaking. And when you're aware of something, you can pay attention to it and it can be a lot different. So Lord, we ask for your help today and thank you for being here already. Thank you for your presence. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the purpose of communication primarily with God is relationship. God is a communicator. He's the author of communication. And we know that because he has made us and he has taken the time to form us, and unlike any other creature in the universe or on the planet, he made you and I in his own image because he wants to have relationship with us. So he's communicating to have relationship with you. With me. He wants to have this. He doesn't want you just to live your own life and then maybe, you know, if you accept Jesus along the way and one day in heaven, then you get to talk. That's not the way that he is. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to listen. He's going to listen to you and I, but he wants this relationship where there's interchange and communication all of the time. And I love that about God. So life is really a dance, in a sense, with the Father. It is a journey with the Holy Spirit, and it's a walk with Jesus. It's all of those things, but it's relational. God is relational. He's not distant, he's near, and he's close, and he wants to communicate. Even though he's invisible, that's the difficult part for us, is the invisibility part. But he communicates in so many ways that transcend the invisibility so that we can hear him and we can have this relationship with him. And he's not just omnipotent and omniscient, though he is. He knows everything. He's all powerful. His technology is beyond anything we can come up with, right? He created the expanding universe, holds the world in all in its orbit, in all of the other planets, the moon, all of that imperfectly. He holds it together. Says that the universe he holds in the span of his hand. That's pretty incredible. That's how big God is. We can't see the end of the universe yet. He's holding it right here. And then he knows every hair that's on every head, every thought that you've ever had, every detail of your life, every leaf on every tree on the planet right now he's aware of. It's hard to believe. It's mind-blowing. I was thinking about this week as I was looking at thousands of trees, that he knows every single detail of every single thing all at the same time, but it's not an effort for him. He sees everything. He knows everything. He has no weaknesses. He doesn't need sleep. He has no equal. We've just been singing about that. He understands everything. And he lives outside of time. He's not bound by time whatsoever. So he can see the distant history and the distant future all at the same time. He's not bound by time. He's not in it. But at the same time that he's that large and massive and beyond our ability to even comprehend, he has chosen, this is amazing, the humility of God, to have a relationship with you, with me. It should be mind-blowing right there. Just humbling that he has chosen to communicate with, to love, to take care of, but to talk with you and I. And not just talk with, but to have our own individual creative language with him. The language of God that we get to understand and have with him. So it's this relationship. It's incredible that he's that way. I remember driving with someone who's not a believer yet. I've been praying for him a lot. And we were having a conversation about God. And I was talking about him being a father who loves, just like this man I was talking to is a father who loves his son and wants to talk with the son. I said, that's how God is with us. He's a father. He wants to talk with you. And he said to me instantly, no. He said, God doesn't have time for that. He doesn't have time for individual communication. And it just hit my heart that in his mind, God is, he did believe in God, but he is somewhere else and he's way too busy to have any communication with us. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. He's not too busy. It's his heart from the very beginning when he made the first person, it was to communicate with them. It was to talk with them. It was to be close to them. And so during this journey and this discovery of how God speaks to us, some of the reasons why he speaks to us, one is relationship because he loves us, but there's also that he wants to communicate to us that's for us, to help us, but he also wants to communicate to us for others, which is incredible. This is why we are united as one body and we need one another. You will hear things from the Lord for me that I need to hear that he didn't share it with me personally, and vice versa. That's how this thing, how it works in a wonderful way. There's a story of a man, I don't know who this happened to, but he had a dream and he was really troubled when he woke up in the morning and he went to his pastor and he said, I had a nightmare in the night. I just want to share this with you. It was awful. And he said, well, share the dream with me. And he said, well, in the dream, he said, I was there in a room with a bunch of people, and there was this bowl that was like 5 feet tall and 6 feet across, and it was full of hot soup, wonderful soup. And he said, we were all starving in the dream. We were so hungry. And there was a spoon there, there were several spoons there, one for each person, but each spoon was 6 feet long. So he said, I'd pick up the spoon and I would put it in the bowl and I'd try to spin it around and it's 2 feet from my face. He said, we were starving, but we could not eat. It was right there. The food was right there. He said, it was like a dream of hell. And the pastor, the all-wise pastor, said to him, you know what? That's not a dream of hell. That's a dream of the kingdom. Because that spoon isn't for you. It's for you to take a spoonful of soup and feed the person on the other side of the bowl. And the other person on the other side of the bowl takes his spoon, takes a bunch of soup and feeds you. That's how this is supposed to work. So God's speaking to you and I, as Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 11, giving us as much as we need, and the context was bread, to give away for those who need it, food for those who need it. So we get to hear from God for ourselves, as he leads and guides and directs us in our lives and the big decisions we need to make and the small decisions and how we touch other people's lives. But it is a big part of it, that touching other people's lives, because he wants to give us ways to feed other people, to help other people, words of life. I've had people give me prophetic words that have honestly changed my life. And some of them have been simple. Sometimes they had no idea what they were even saying. Yet it was life-changing. The reason we're married, my wife and I, is because of someone doing that, giving us a prophetic word. Several things, from direction of where we are right now in the city. In Winston-Salem, I didn't grow up here. I wasn't from here. I'd never been here for most of my life until the Lord began to speak in prophetic ways about coming to Winston-Salem to be a part of a church plant here. It wasn't something I had in my mind or really wanted to do. God began to share that with me. And he began to share it with others who began to say some things to me as well. And it all fit together. So that bowl of soup is right there of God giving nourishment and words of affirmation and help and direction as we are looking for him, as we are aware, we talked about this last week, being aware of him, paying attention to the ways that he might be speaking to me. It could be for me, but it's most likely going to be for someone else. And it's a blast when you get something to give away to someone, whether they know the Lord or not, whether you're on a, you know, on a bus somewhere or at a gas station or a grocery store or wherever, or you're here in church. When you receive something, you pay attention and you receive something to give away, it is amazing. And it's amazing for that person. It can be life-changing for them. So those are some of the reasons why God wants to speak. And then how does he speak? So this is the tricky part. Well, one of them. It's about relationship, first off. It's a relational thing. It's not, I can't just write a book and tell you this means this and this means that. Here's the book. And it's like a computer program and you figure it out. If you feel something or you hear something that you just automatically, you know, click it in and this is what it means. That's not how it works because that's not relational. God does everything through relationship. And we'll talk about types and symbols and things like that next week, Lord willing. But the Lord uses the natural to often reveal spiritual realities. He did that through Jesus doing that through parables, Jesus doing that through stories. He grabs something that is in their current culture and their everyday life, and he brings that in and he shares a story that has to do with those natural things that indicate and highlight a spiritual reality, right? That's how he did it. And God still does that. He will use things in your everyday life within our culture to speak to us that reveals things that are spiritual realities or that they're a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for someone. And so we got to pay attention. And again, last week we talked about we need to believe that he is speaking, that he wants to speak to me. And if I believe that, then I'm paying attention. How is he speaking? 1 Corinthians 15:46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. So that's why God uses these natural things to communicate to us. So I've learned a lot about the ways that God speaks through natural means, and primarily marriage. This is one of the largest ways, and you don't have to be married to hear God speak, I'm not saying that. For me, I learned a lot and I'm still learning about the different ways that God speaks through my marriage with my wife. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, they were together in Adam. Then he pulled a rib out of Adam and created Eve. And I think with that rib came most communication. Just pulled communication right out of that guy. Created Eve. This guy has one sentence conversations, and she has lots of words to say. Articulate words, beautiful words. But we both came, man and woman came from God. So every part of communication that we have together is all in him. And the ways, don't throw anything at me, please. I've learned over time that though God is male and he communicates much more like a female does to me. By his spirit, it's in, let me say it this way. The communication from God is nuanced more often than it is direct. Which is in many ways how my wife may speak to me with nuances and not just direct. A guy is just simply direct. That's what I like. That's what I want. There it is. Let's go. A woman doesn't all the time speak that same language because she's relational more than he is oftentimes. Like God is relational. And so she's saying things and through the words, there's a hope for more relationship, and in the relationship, there's more communication and understanding. Are you tracking with me? And God is that way. Unfortunately for me, you know, when we first met and then we got engaged and we got married, I had this wrong idea that I had a good grip on understanding females. And since I'm a fairly good listener, I've got this pretty figured out. So I thought this was not going to be a difficult thing. I really did. And I learned quickly that I was mistaken. That there was a lot for me to learn in this. As one example, you know, we're in the same room, the TV's on, my wife is sitting down over there, she says, and I'm standing over here, and she says, hey Matt, this chair over here is open. And I was like, oh, thanks, that's okay though. So that, if you're a guy and you don't understand what that means, here's what that means. That doesn't mean there's a nice chair over here, wouldn't it be great, because I care about your comfortability all the way, and that, so I just want you to come sit in this chair. Oh, that is part of it. What she's saying is, I would like you closer to me. But those weren't the words, right? The words were, there's a chair open here. Because she's also saying, do you want to be close to me? See, there's a lot in there. It's got layers of communication in a few words that for a guy, whew, right over our heads, if we're not paying attention. But if I know her heart and I am in trying to learn and understand, then I start to get some of the ways that she communicates. She's smiling at me right now. And there is communication in a smile as well. There is. I mean, 25 years we've been married. So now there are looks. There are smiles. There are not smiles. There are all kinds of things that communicate. It's not just, here's the word, do it. That's religion. God is relational. And so if he communicates in ways that aren't just like men, then man, we better be paying attention and open to all the ways that he communicates. I'm going to give you some scriptural ideas. I'm not just saying things. This isn't just me. I'm going to share some things from the scriptures that help highlight this. So let's do this. And as I do this, my heart for every single one of you, for every single one of us, and I know that this is God's heart as well, is for you to discover the adventure of knowing him and hearing him. Because when you hear him, there's nothing like it. It's like his presence when we're in worship. The presence of the Lord comes and there's nothing like that. I'd rather have that than anything. When you hear his voice, when you understand this is God talking to me, like the story I shared last week, when I realized this was God talking to me, I thought it was my daydreams. My life changed, and there is now, suddenly, it's an adventure. You have no idea what's going to happen next. See, religion is just boring. Religion is rules and regulations and a list that you check off that means nothing. God is not religion. God is relationship. He is the Almighty. He knows everything. He has all power, yet he wants this relationship with us. So here are a few things that I learned through my marriage that also I'm learning through the scriptures and how God speaks to me as well. One is, I just mentioned she can communicate to me through a look, through a tone of voice. I've heard one time through a communication class that words coming out of your mouth are like 5% of communication. The other 95% have to do with the tone, have to do with the body language, have to do with the inflections and all of those things. A whole lot goes into those words. It's really true. Body gestures, all of those things. Now, we don't have those things necessarily with the Lord because he's invisible. But we have other things that are nuanced with God. Here's one. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11. We'll put it up here. This is Jeremiah, who was a prophet to the nation. So this is one of God's prophets that he's speaking to for the whole nation, okay? And here's how God speaks to him on this day. The word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? Again, God's relational, even with his prophets, he's the same way. What do you see here? And I said, well, I see a rod of an almond tree. I see a rod of an almond tree. That's the translation. Then, verse 12, the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Now, a rod, that word rod there, is it like a staff? It's like where you'd get a shepherd's stick or something. So, well, you read that and go, so he shows him a rod, he shows him a stick. He says he sees the stick. God says, you're seeing well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. What do the two have to do with one another? Well, if you look at the Hebrew in these words, the word almond is sheked, and the word watching is shekad. It's one letter different. It's a play on words. God uses a play on words to communicate to his number one prophet in the nation because it's relational. He's showing him something, it means something else. He's saying, do you get it, Jeremiah? He's got to pay attention. Now, that seems weird, but God is not like us in so many different ways. And in some ways, he really made us just like him, where he will use all these different things. Now, I will get plays on words from the Lord as well. This isn't just Jeremiah. God will speak to you this way as well. Sometimes I'll be praying for someone and I'll see a train, like on a train track. And I'll say, Lord, what does that mean? And sometimes it's this. The Lord says, I'm training them. Now, wait a minute. It has nothing to do with the choo-choo train. It has nothing to do with them being a locomotive engineer. The Lord shows me one thing and he means something entirely different. Just like the chair next to my wife. Says one thing, shows one thing, but means something different. It's because it's relationship. But it's a fun thing. It's wonderful. So when you see something in the spirit, if you're shown something, if you have a dream, that's why we need to ask the Lord, what does this mean? That's why I need to ask my wife, what do you mean? Right? And then you get more understanding, and then you grow, and you understand that. Here's another one. Just simple, because I put the date. Whenever I type out my notes, I always put the date. What's today? 10-4. What does 10-4 mean? Well, that's the police communication, radio communication for, got it, I understand. Okay. And so today is a day to get it, to understand, right? Some of what the Lord is saying to us, even on this day. I like those kind of things. I remember being in Home Depot one day. It was Saturday morning. I went to get some stuff. I've got my list. And as I walked in, this just sense and feel inside my heart just sprung up. And I thought, God, you could use me to do anything in here today. And I pictured quickly myself standing on a pallet and preaching. And then, oh, there's my shovel. And that thought is gone, and I'm getting my list. And I didn't think any more about it till I got to the checkout desk, and I'm standing in line. I'm about three people in front of me, and as I'm standing there, I feel in my body a heat on my left hip. It felt like someone rubbed Icy Hot all over my left hip. It starts burning. Now, I don't normally have that feeling. And instantly, the reminder came to me, or the remembrance of my first thought when I walked in the store. I wonder if God wants to use me today, and I'm thinking about myself standing on a pallet. And then the Lord started to speak to me inwardly. I want to help someone get healed in their left hip. See, oftentimes the Lord will speak to us through our physical body because that's where he lives. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. He's connected to every part of who you are. So it's easy for him to give a warm touch to my left hip. It's where he lives. And oftentimes we can have something going on in our body and we typically, 99% of the time, are self-focused and we think this is me. What's wrong with me? Oh my goodness, I've got something wrong. Might get a headache where maybe you don't normally have headaches. That's because there's probably someone in the room where you're about to meet who has a headache and the Lord wants to heal them. But if we're always self-focused and it's all about me, then we miss what God is trying to say a lot of times. That day, I happened to be paying attention. I felt this warmth on my left hip, and then I thought, oh my goodness, now I have to do something with this. Get to the next person. Now it's up to, I felt like it was for the lady who was checking us out. So I get right in front of her. I said, okay. Then there are people behind me. They're all antsy, and she's quite slow with what she's doing. Everyone's watching. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, do you have any pain in your left hip? And she quit looking at me. From that moment, she starts fiddling over here on this thing and fiddling on this thing. And I just calmly said, ma'am, I'll just ask again, do you have any issues with your left hip? She said, yes, I do. And I said, well, guess what? The Lord knows this. He loves you. He cares about you so much. He wants to heal your left hip right now. And so there was a small amount of ministry time right there. I walked out of the door, and I'm telling you what, I'm soaring on the inside. I was like, okay, let's go to Lowe's next. Let's see what God wants to do. Honestly, that's how you feel. Because I just got some soup and a spoon that I got to give away. And there is something exhilarating about that. You just realize you participated with the king of the universe who wanted to do something for someone else, and I got to be the guy just by paying attention. So God will do that in so many different ways. And he speaks in so many different ways. He's always speaking. As the author of communication, as the one who is desiring relationship with you personally, he's always talking, but it can be in a thousand different ways. But if we have the mindset of he only speaks through the word or maybe through a pastor, then we're going to miss 95% of the ways he's talking to me on a daily basis. But if I'm paying attention, if I'm awake, that's why Ephesians 5 says, awake sleeper, rise up from the dead and Christ will shine on you. We need to be awake, sober. That's why the Bible says, be awake, fully awake actually. Be sober minded, have your mind transformed and be looking, waiting, expectant. What is God wanting to say today? When I feel things in my body, I'm not just gonna automatically think this is something wrong with me. He might be wanting to show me something. And then all of a sudden this adventure takes place. He will speak through many, 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 many different ways. Here are just a few, and here's a few that I've identified, though you may have some of mine, ways that he speaks to me, or maybe you'll have a whole list of your own. I've started to write them down, so I have a list of about 20 different ways that I've identified that God speaks to me personally. You might have a list of 25 or 12 or whatever it is, unique ways, in addition to scriptural ways, that God will speak to you. He speaks through visions. Genesis 15:1, Acts 16:9, talk about God using people and speaking to them through a vision. Now, a vision is basically a picture of something that you see in your mind. Sometimes you can see it with your eyes open and you'll still see it. I had one happen to me about 3 weeks ago. So clear, I could not make it go away. Close my eyes, it's still there. Open my eyes, it's still there. In fact, I thought I was gonna be able to drive. We were at a restaurant. I didn't think I was gonna be able to drive back here because it was so vivid, this image. God was speaking to me through that. He will speak to you through what that's called a vision or an open vision. And sometimes those visions, open visions, then can turn into movement. They may get animated. There's gonna be a scene that plays out. Sometimes that happens to us. That's happened to me a few times as well, and that's amazing. Sometimes I'll get a vision and see something. And I'll say, Lord, what does this mean? And then it may begin to move. And then there's more information there of what God is wanting to say. There's lots of stories of this. So I don't want to go through all that. Let me give you one example of a quick vision I had. I was speaking like I am right now. We're in a meeting and I looked over this way. And on this, I looked at this guy and on his forehead, it said IBM. Like the logo, the IBM computer company logo on his forehead. It's like, I looked at him again. I said, Lord, what are you saying? So I gave him a word. He had just applied to IBM that week. And he wasn't sure he should have done it. And he had this question with the Lord. And so it was simply a confirmation from the Lord for him. Now, why God chose to do it, I don't know. But God loves him. And he just decided to show me that thing real quickly. He'll speak, God will speak through a feel or discernment. You'll just discern something. It's an impression. It's like knowing something that you shouldn't know. I'm not talking about accusation. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It's not accusing someone, but sometimes you'll just know something that you really shouldn't know. An example of that, we have a family that comes to our church here, the Carters, Rick and Julie Carter. When they first came here, I first looked at him, met him after the service, and even before he opened his mouth, I thought, this guy, he's from South Africa. There's something about South Africa. I thought he was actually Afrikaans. That was the thought in my mind. And then he starts speaking. He doesn't have any accent whatsoever. He's not from South Africa. But he'd been there several times, and he was in a ministry, and that was the headquarters of the church was in South Africa. I knew there's something about South Africa with this guy. And there was no reason to know that. That's that impression. That's that word of knowledge that God was just giving me. Sometimes there's a smell that you smell. You know, one of the references to Jesus is the rose of Sharon or the lily of the valley, right? A rose and a lily. There's a smell to the Lord. And there are moments you may be praying or you enter a room or something's going on and you may smell like a waft of this rose or this flower, this perfume. Often that's the presence of the Lord and he's wanting to say something to you in that moment if we stop, if we ask him. Hearing things in your spirit. The Holy Spirit can just give you a sentence. He just give you a scripture. Happens a lot. When we were pregnant with our second child, we were at the doctor's office, and I forgot how far along we were, and the doctors, you know, got the little wand. We're doing the ultrasound and making sure everything's okay, rubbing it over her stomach, and we had a list of several names for this second child. And as soon as he popped up on the screen, instantly I heard Seth. Seth was not on our list. That was not one we'd ever talked about, we'd ever considered. It wasn't on our radar at all. But the moment I saw him, I heard Seth. Well, that's what we named him. We named him Seth. That was the name the Lord was saying, this is his name. The moment that I saw him. That was just the Lord speaking on the inside. The Lord will use past experiences. I could tell you several stories on this one. I'll give you one. And this is so much fun because sometimes the difficult things in our past, God will use to do wonderful things for someone in the present. An example of this, I was praying for this woman. I was on a prophetic team like we have here. I was on a team with two other people. There was a woman that I'd never seen before. She sat in front of us, and we began to ask the Lord for an encouraging word for her. So I prayed, and as I'm praying, I start daydreaming. I realize this is God speaking to me. And the daydream was a memory of something in my past, and here's what it was. When I was a kid, I was driving down the road on my bicycle, which had a banana seat. Remember those? Had a long seat. My brother was on the back, my little brother. We're tooling down the road. It's a gravel road. All of a sudden, the bike goes into a skid. My brother screams, and we crash. My brother got his foot stuck in the spokes of the back tire, caused us to go into a skid. His foot is mangled. I'm bleeding. He's bleeding, worse than me. And that's the memory that I have. As I'm praying for this woman, I thought, Lord, please help me. I don't know what to do with this. And I didn't get an answer as to what this meant. So I just said to her, ma'am, this may sound strange, but as I was praying for you, here's the experience that I remembered that I had, and I told her the story. As I told her that short story, she lifts up her foot. She had cowboy boots on. She pulled her cowboy boot off, and she stuck her foot right in my face. And she said, that exact thing happened to me when I was a little girl. And it has caused my balance to be off since then. Would you pray for me? Oh my goodness. It was that story that was a painful thing for my brother, especially, and myself, was something God wanted to use to help heal her in that moment. That's amazing. Sometimes he will bring up the past, especially when you are praying for someone or you're wanting to help someone, and it's going to be used in a way that is fresh and new, and it's redeemed for this person. Oftentimes that can be for healing. The Lord will speak through trances. Acts 10:10, that's a scriptural thing. The enemy's always trying to steal things from the kingdom. Do you realize that? Whether it's a rainbow, whether it's a trance, those are scriptural things. A rainbow means the promises of God to not flood the earth again, right? The trance is God-given. This is what happened to Peter as he's on a roof. He's praying, he falls into a trance. Now a trance, I've had a few of those, and for me, they're different. I usually have them in the early morning hours. It's like when in between being fully asleep and awake. There's this in-between period, at least for me, where you're not all the way asleep, you're not fully awake, and those moments are moments where I'll often see things, hear things from the Lord. It's a trance-like state. And it's a God thing. God does this. This isn't weird. This is scriptures. This is what happens to people who know him. God can show you things. Sometimes he has to turn off your brain to show you things. That's what happens in dreams. That's what happens in trances. I'll give you an example of one. I had one about a year ago. That moment, that in-between trance-like state, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to me. And I didn't tell him I was going to say this. But it said, add Seth Frack to your board. Seth goes to our church here. I wasn't thinking about, Seth is an awesome guy, but I hadn't thought about adding him to our board. And that, his face, his person, and the Lord spoke, it just clear as can be. So that's what he did. I called him that week and said, Seth, would you like to be a part of the Awake Church board? And he said, let me pray about it. He agreed, and he's been a great addition to our board. Now, why the Lord chose to do it that way, I don't know, but I'm thankful. So thankful. That was something that was so clear. Angelic visitations, Luke 1, Acts 8, 26. And that can happen through so many different things. Angels can appear as light. I've seen them in dreams. They can appear where you see their whole figure. We see those through the scriptures where people, whether it's John or whether it's Mary or so many other people, they might feel afraid when they see an angel. I've not seen an angel like that where it's just completely clear. I'll see flashes of light usually. That often indicate angelic movement or something going on. Visitation from Jesus, the scriptural, Acts 9, verse 5. Discernment of spirits. Let me dive into this one real quickly, because this is one way that God speaks to me regularly, and my guess is he's speaking to you the same way, and you may not recognize it, and it's a lot of fun. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15, we have a glimpse of Elijah and Elisha. Remember these two guys. Elijah is the senior prophet. Elisha's following him. Elisha asks for a double portion. Elijah says, if you see me when I depart, you'll get that. So all of a sudden, this chariot of fire shows up, takes Elijah up into the sky. His mantle falls on the ground. Elisha picks it up, smacks the river to see, is this really real? The river splits open. He walks through it, right? Then as he's getting to the village, the sons of the prophets, who knew that these guys were walking off somewhere, they're waiting, and here comes Elisha without Elijah. He's by himself. But here's what it says that they said. The spirit of Elijah is on Elisha. They saw something on Elisha that looked like Elijah. That's a discerning of a spirit. So, and there are different kinds of discerning of spirits. Sometimes you can discern an evil spirit, but it's not always that. In this case, it's discerning like the spirit of Elijah is now resting on Elisha in some way. I don't understand that fully, but they could see that. So how that works out for you and I oftentimes is this. You'll look at someone and instantly they remind you of someone else. How many of you have had that happen where you look at someone, if you could raise your hand, and they remind you of another person? My guess is everyone in here. You see someone, they remind you of someone else. And you might even look to your spouse and say, hey, doesn't that look like so-and-so? Most of the time, they say, no. Here's why. Because the Lord is showing you something. He's not showing them, he's showing you. In fact, it actually is even more the signature that it's the Lord when they say no. This isn't a natural thing. I'm seeing something spiritually. So if you'll take that and then say, Lord, what is it about the person that I know that they look like that you want me to communicate for this person that I don't know? And it's remarkable. He'll give you, here's a story about that happening to me, one of several, because this happens regularly. I was in Switzerland on a ministry trip. We were there for 10 days to minister and to train in what we're talking about right now. And I meet with their leadership team. Actually, we met their leadership team. One couple who didn't speak English. Her name is Hannah. The moment that I saw her, she reminded me just so vividly of my mom's best friend in Oregon. Makes no sense. This lady's in Switzerland. My mom's best friend is in Oregon. And I was asking the Lord, what does this mean? So for the 10 days that I was there, I kept asking the Lord, what does that mean? I didn't get anything. Every time I would ask the question, all I could think of, she's got two children. There was no other resemblance. I mean, there's nothing I could put together. So, Lord, what are you saying to me? I don't get anything. Day two, day three, day four. We get to the last day. And the last day, their leadership team gets in a circle. And the guy I'm with is Steve, who invited me on the trip. He said, let's minister to everybody on their leadership team. It's great. So I asked the Lord one more time. Every time I see this person, I still see her so vividly. Looks like my mom's best friend to me. So when I said it the last time, Lord, would you please show me? What does this mean? What do you want me to do? And then this thought came to me. Oh my goodness, no, my mom's best friend doesn't have two children. She has three. I just had never met the oldest one. It was a son and he moved away before I ever got to meet her two younger kids. So there was something to go on. And then the Lord showed me something else to say. So I'm there standing with Hannah and her husband. I said, I feel like the Lord, I've had zero communication with her, no communication, no conversations, I know nothing about her. Took a big step and said, I feel like the Lord is saying that you have three children and the oldest one's a boy and he's gone now, but the Lord wants you to know that his heart is in God's hands. Now, when I said that, she broke down weeping and so did her husband. And the whole team was like on high alert. It was a weird thing. And I didn't know what this meant because in my mind, just like the woman that I knew, her son moved away. But that's not what I said, that he's gone now. So the interpreter said, can I speak with you in the hallway? I went out in the hallway. And he got right in my face and he said, how did you know that? And I said, what? And he said, Hannah and her husband have three children. The oldest one is a boy. And a year ago, he was swimming off the coast of Africa and he drowned. And she didn't know, they didn't know if he knew Jesus. So they've been asking the Lord every day, or at least every week, begging God, is he with you? Is he with you? Did he know you? Is he with you? And then you came here and you just told them that their oldest son has gone now, but his heart is in God's hands. It was life-changing for that couple. I had no idea what I was saying. God used that to heal their hearts, and they could move on in life. I heard great stories about them since then of how God used that moment. Now, I was clueless. The only thing I knew was that she looked like my mom's best friend. Discernment of spirits, I asked the Lord, what is about this one that you want me to share with this one? Now, I'm telling you what, you are probably seeing this regularly, walking around, living life. Doesn't that person look like so-and-so? If you'll stop right there, say, God, what are you saying to me about this person that I know for this person right here? And I'm telling you what, you'll get some amazing things that will be so encouraging for that person. And it's straight out of scripture. This is what happened with Elijah and Elisha. The Lord also uses his audible voice. God can speak. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Now that is, I would say, not as normal as the other ways that he speaks to us now. In the Old Testament, when God lived on the outside of us, audible voice is how he would speak primarily. Now, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, with the Holy Spirit living on the inside, he primarily speaks on the inside of us. Whispers, touches, discernment of spirits, all these feelings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. But he will still occasionally speak with an audible voice. I've heard it twice Both times I was asleep and I woke up. My wife was with me once. We both heard the same thing. That's happened a couple times, but that's not normal. Yet it was God and was powerful. So obviously, you pay attention to that one. That one's easier to pay attention to. And I'm thankful. My great-grandfather really turned to the Lord because of an audible voice. It's how Christianity passed down to my generation right now. My grandfather went to a meeting, camp meeting. Amy Semple McPherson, she's preaching. This is in the 20s. He walks out of the meeting, doesn't respond to the altar call. As he's walking down the street in the dark, he hears a loud voice behind him, a man's voice. He thought it was just a man walking right behind him. He said, "If you don't accept me now, you never will." He turned around to see who it was, and no one was there. And he recognized this was God speaking to him. He went back into the meeting, walked down front, and gave his life to the Lord. God will use that sometimes for different people for different reasons. Obviously, he'll use pains in our body, as I mentioned with the heat. But sometimes it's a pain somewhere. Particularly if you don't normally have that pain, pay attention. God's probably trying to show you something to help someone else with. And then lastly, he'll use marks on your body. This is a strange one for me. This isn't a personal one, but it could be that God used this for many people and we just don't realize it. But I lived in the country of Sri Lanka for 2 years. It's out in the Indian Ocean. It's off the tip of India. Beautiful nation, wonderful people. After living there for 2 years, came home, got reassigned to the United States. This is when I worked in the government. And one day I noticed that I've got about right here a birthmark. And it's the exact shape of the nation of Sri Lanka. I mean, it's identical. And when I saw that, I just started laughing. And I thought, God marked my body with a nation he would send me to for 2 years. It was, just confirming for one thing. And it was just a wonderful thing. So I didn't even think what you would thought at that moment. I would go, you know, what other marks are on my body? I wonder what those might be. I didn't do that. A few years later, I have my shirt off, I'm shaving, and I see in the mirror the reflection of another birthmark I have in my rib cage right on this side. And I thought, Lord, what does that mean? I just said it under my breath. What does that mean, Lord? Instantly, in my spirit, I hear Burkina Faso. And I knew that was in Africa somewhere, but I didn't know where, I didn't know anything about it. So I went to my office, Googled it, pulled up the map, took a piece of paper and traced it. It's the exact shape of this birthmark. The capital is Ouagadougou. So I ended up going there. There's a whole story behind that. But what that did was it started to set in motion something that God wanted me to do in Burkina Faso. And we ended up providing clean drinking water there. But I had no idea God just used this birthmark. So who knows? He can use the birthmarks. He's the one who made your body. There may be birthmarks on you that are shapes of nations or places that he wants you to go or pray for or who knows what. But that's just, we're talking about God. He's communicating again in a myriad of different ways if we're paying attention. And who knows the ones that I've yet to understand. Okay. How about we do this? Can we all stand? And we'll end this. Again, I'm sorry, I'm talking fast. There's a lot to share. I'm jamming 6 weeks of stuff into 3 weeks. But this is, I hope for you that this is going to be wonderful and that there will be understanding, 10-4, about the ways that God has been speaking to you through your whole life. And that maybe even now as you go from here, there'll be things that you'll see, experience, feel, sense, hear that will suddenly be illuminated. Like, oh my goodness, this could be God talking. And that's where you say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And it is an adventure. So I'd like you to do this. I know that we're social distancing and being careful around one another. We need to continue to do that as we could pray for our president, right, to get all healed up. But if you would just do a 360 and glance at people around you. Can you just do that for a second? Do a slow 360. And if someone stands out to you for a moment, just think about them for a second and ask the Lord, would you give me something encouraging for them? And if you need to do another circle, feel free to do that. I'm going to pray. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us. You are speaking. I ask that you'd show us something that would be encouraging for someone that's in this room. In any way that you want to use us, in our body, if you want to highlight a scripture, a passage, if you want to give us a vision, if you want to remind us of something, if it's an impression, whatever it is, Lord, we ask right now that you would speak to us, give us some of that soup that we can give away and help nourish someone else. Just wait a minute. Usually when we ask the Lord in settings like this, it's the first thing that you got. It's the first thing that you saw or the first impression that you had. And maybe it's just a word that came to your mind to give away. It may not make sense to you, but it will probably make sense to them. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.